Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and tonight I have with me as a co-host, Dawn. Say hello, Dawn.
Hello, Pam. How are you?
I'm happy. How about you?
Just as much.
You sounded more energetic before. Come on, get back in it. We know you got
hello,
it.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, world. Hello, listening audience. And, I'm joking around. Thank you for having me on with you tonight, Pam. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. You know I like having you. I know that we have some people in the chat room, most likely people listening, because tonight we welcome two times nominated, get it? Next time he's going to win it. NAACP Image Award in the category of Outstanding Actor in Daytime Drama Series. And a man with a heart as beautiful as he is. Mr. Texas Battle. Hello, Texas.
Yeah, I heard.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
What's everybody up to? What's going on?
Hello there, Don.
Say hello, Don.
Hi, Texas. How are you?
Well, hello, Don. I'm very, very well. Thank you for asking, and congratulations on everything that you got going on for yourself, too. Pam, what's up?
I know, right?
We're
all multitasking people here. We don't know how to sit still.
Uh-uh.
Well, you got to multitask. You got to keep everything going, keep everything fresh.
We learned that from you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, I have to say, we're ecstatic that you have such a great storyline on Bold and the Beautiful again. What's it been like for you?
Well, let's hope everything pans out the way it should. And you know, so far so good. You know, they're welcoming in my brother, who's from my adoptive family, who's coming on into town, and he's getting settled in L.A. So that was very good and warming to see that they're bringing on some more color to B&B, which is always great.
And you got some competition there with your brother, let me tell you, because he's good looking too.
Yeah, he comes in. He's my brother, so we definitely can't have no people coming in looking like pork chops and gravy.
Right.
That's so true.
It's definitely a good feeling though to just work with new people as well. Him and Carla, they both come from Night and Light era. So it's good to bring, pros on over to our show so we can get right into it without even missing a beat.
Yeah, Don remembers him from Guiding Light. Unfortunately, I didn't watch that show.
CBS Daytime is where it's at, I must tell you. And, yes, I was Marcus, I mean, not Marcus, listen to me, Texas, a.k.a. Marcus. I was so excited to see the two of them back, on screen together. I love them on Guiding Light. So far, I am enjoying them in their character role on B&B.
Yeah, we have that type of that chemistry. I remember when the first time he came on our set, and everybody was telling him about me, like, yeah, when you meet Texas, be ready for the energy, and he's out there, and he was very looking forward to having that camaraderie, brothers do. And when I met him, yeah, straight up, I was like, hey, what's up, man? What's up, bro? What's going on? Like, and it was like, he was very like, he didn't know what to expect. But then he was like, oh, okay, so it's like this. Like, this is cool. Like, I get to actually, have fun and be laid back and kind of have that brotherly type of relationship. And it just clicked. It just clicked.
That's great, considering you have to work with people all the time, not all the time, but when you have a storyline together, you want to make sure that you're working well together.
You do. And for him and for Carla coming over from a different soap, it's always hard to, because you don't know what to expect. And you got to give both of them, the credit, because they're coming from another soap and that's been off, I don't know how long, a year or two or so. And they're coming on to a hot show which is, you know, number one in the world, you know, three-time Emmy winner, blah, 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 blah. And all these new characters and new people that they're meeting, and plus they're both, you know, they come from New York. So now they're
right.
moving to L.A. So it's just a huge change for them. So my thing was, hey, I'm going to make these both of these new characters feel as comfortable as possible and welcome them into the B&B family and show them what we're all about, and let's get working.
Right.
Well, I must say, I think the dynamic is working very well so far, and I am more than thrilled. As long as I have watched B&B, which has been the whole time it's been on the air, but, you know, I'm really excited that right now there's a focal storyline that does not revolve around, you know, the whole Brooke, Taylor, Ridge, Steffi, and, you know, there is that storyline, but it's nice to see a storyline that, you know, that the viewers can really get into and can feel. I mean, when that whole thing unfolded with Daisy and the baby and Maya, you know, that was heart-wrenching for the viewing audience, but it was so well written. And so, you know, it just kind of helped put you guys on the front burner, and I'm thrilled about that.
Right. Well, let's hope that we definitely get back into some of that. You know, right now we're definitely at a place where we can do a lot of things with these new characters. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Marcus, I mean, it's time for Marcus and Texas to actually, you know, get some story that lasts longer than, you know, a month and a half or 2 months. You know, it's
right.
like,
mm-hmm.
I personally haven't had anything challenging for me on the show since the, you know, the whole Steffi and meeting my mom and getting adopted when I first came on. You know, that year and a half when I first came on, ladies, that was good. You know, that was something
yeah.
to mm-hmm. sink my teeth into, introduce Marcus to the world, and it was a great story. But since then, I really haven't had anything that I can actually go, oh, yeah, I can't wait to start doing this. You know, I look forward to the future storylines, and hopefully there will be something that I can dig my teeth into and get into. But, you know, right now, I mean, you know, I don't know where that's going to happen. I mean, we teased this whole storyline with the texting and driving, but maybe
right.
that was like, what, 4 or 5 weeks, and then that was it. Bye-bye. It was
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then the next
yeah.
time after that, we just saw you just being a computer geek for a few episodes, and that was it.
Right, right. So, I mean, I get it. I get that, you know, everyone has a story. And it's always going to, you know, the main story will always be, you know, and that's something that we all have to accept. It'll always be the Logan, whether it's Hope Steffi or Brooke versus Taylor, it'll always be a Logan versus a Forrester because
mm-hmm.
that's where they come from. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the B storyline, I would love to be part of a B storyline again. I'm dying and itching and waiting for that time to happen.
Mm-hmm. So are we. So are we. Now, I know that Daisy didn't initially tell Marcus what she was going through with Maya and her baby, but eventually she shared it with him and Carter. I didn't expect that storyline to wrap up so quickly.
Again, see, you, I mean,
yeah.
you guys see it as I see it, as we work it, we know. And all we can do as you know, as actors is hopefully that something will come of it later on. And believe me, I tell you guys, I wish that I could be able to have that, even that storyline itself, go a little bit longer than it did. Because there was some good stuff that could have came from that. But
right, right.
You know.
Well, I'd like to see Maya and Carter hook up and you guys at least do a foursome for dinner or something, go to the... You know?
Right, right.
Well, you know, and as much as I love Marcus and Daisy together, and I love Carter and Maya being back on, you know, back on screen together because they were a couple on God and Light, so it's kind of like
right.
taking me back, you know, as a past viewer of that show. But, you know, but to shake it up within the ranks of that storyline with you guys, you know, I mean, it would be nice to have a little drama. It would be nice to have something that kind of just – rants it up for all four of you, really. And that is one of the things that's always mesmerized me about daytime is because, you know, I think it's a travesty to have a lack of Black actors on these shows because the audience is not predominantly, you know, white. There are plenty of African-Americans that enjoy those shows. And, I think, it, you know, there's a huge disservice there in a lot of ways because you guys are some brilliant actors and you do such a phenomenal job at what you do. And it's always good when we can see you guys doing your thing, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yeah, so I really appreciate that. You know, we hope that it does go get to a point where Marcus has some conflict with Daisy. And, I mean, look, we've been married now for I don't know how long, but, you know, me speaking from Texas point of view, it's time for that ship to sink a little bit. It's time for something needs to happen. And I've been the nice guy. You know, I've been family. I've been Forrester first, of course. You know, I've been all about my wife, backing her. And, you know, of course, we have Rosie.
It's right.
Time for something to happen. Like you guys said, you know how this works. When you're happy, things don't last long when you're happy.
Yeah, exactly. Time to bring Amber back with Rosie and shake it up, I think, or even a new character.
Something to shake something up. I wouldn't care if my brother and Daisy started eyeing each other a little bit. I don't know. Just something to just go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, I just want some of that. Like, you know, I want some of that fire, that flame. I want Marcus to get mad. I want Marcus to, you know, to lose it a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, what would be good would be, since everybody's fighting over who's going to be in control of Forrester, I mean, you're Forrester, get in the middle of that.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, look, I don't see, I'm also realistic, too. I don't see that happening because of the fact that I'm both Forrester and Logan. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, I love my, remember, I'm both. I love my dad.
I know.
And then I'm a Logan because Donna, and I mean, my Aunt Brooke and my, you know, my cousin Hope. I mean, geez, I'm kind of in the middle.
You're as sad as that fence, my friend. Sad little fence, always.
Then you have Marcus playing both sides, you know, and that's kind of like, ooh.
That's like that proverbial Carolina Duke fan here in the Carolinas, and they like both teams, and you know whoever wins are always happy. You know, it's just the way it is. So yeah, I can, but it would just be. And Marcus, you know, the Texan thing was a good storyline because I think that helped kind of broaden the awareness of texting because that's been so prevalent in the news and so much talk about it. But you're right. I mean, it was so short-lived, and it barely had time to get off the ground. I mean, I would have loved to have seen with that storyline, like, there be more of a build-up, like Marcus, you know, kind of stalling on telling and it kind of coming out and all this just to kind of add some, you know, longevity to it.
Absolutely.
And that air of the listener screaming, going, tell somebody, you know, or this or that, you know, because, you know, we don't ever scream at our TV when the soaps are on at all. I mean, we never do that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I mean, but that was just kind of, like you say, dead in the water in no time. And it was like, okay, on to something else. I'm thrilled to pieces that you're on there. And I'm thrilled to pieces that I wish you had more camera time, but I'm thankful when you do because you're one of my absolute favorites on the show. And
thank you.
Just from the beginning, I loved when you came on in the beginning and just the way they introduced your character into the show. It was such a nice, nice way that they brought that in and the way they've made you, you know, I just love the fact that you're always this proverbial good guy too, you know. And you know, the Saints always have their, you know, their characters that have their color, you know, they're dynamic and they have a lot of different sides to them. But I love the fact that Marcus has always been kind of true to who he is on the show, and the show has kept him true to himself. So that's always good to see.
And that's one thing he will be. I mean, Marcus will always be true to himself and what he believes in. I mean, that's, I guess, one of the great things about, you know, Marcus and how I'm able to make him be that way. I agree with you ladies. And don't forget, I mean, when something does happen and the storyline is exciting and it is going the way, you know, the audience wants to see it go, and you guys, it's very important, you know, share your thoughts, you know, to tweet, email.
Oh, are you kidding? That's the first thing I do when I see you showing up on that day. I'm right on Twitter. Texas is on.
And I see those things too, and I'm like, yes, like. Believe me, I'm hungry for it.
You know what you should do? You should take a photograph of every single tweet when people are excited to see you on there and they tweet it out and bring it to the writers, bring it to the people, the powers that be, and say, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the thing. They see it because, you know, social media is changing the world, obviously. And every time I got it. When you tweet something to me or anybody, you got to tweet to Bowl Insider as well, because that's our main, you know, B&B tweet hand name is Bowl Insider. You know, you tweet to that, you know, that would definitely help as well.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, everybody has to include that, tag them in the tweet so
you
they can
include
see
that
it.
Tag.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So what have you been doing on your downtime?
Oh, well, you know, I've come from, you know, the TV and film world. So at the moment as we speak, I'm gearing up. It looks like I'm gearing up for a film, and it's based off a true story. It's called Greater, and right now we're just waiting to see, you know, get some finer details and things coming and when it's going to shoot, because, you know, I got to make sure it shoots around the schedule of B&B and... but yeah, you know, I never plan on just not doing anything. You know, I always want to nip and dab in the film and TV, and it's pilot season, so it's a very busy season where I've been reading tons of scripts and meeting, you know, tons of producers and going out and just waiting for that right one, like Death Valley, that right one to come, and then I plan on doing that too. So
good. Glad to hear that. We'd love to see more of you, no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
Now, what is your most fondest memory of working with Susan Flannery?
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I need to, because she invited me and Jackie, Jacqueline McInnes-Wood, we're supposed to be, you know, going over to visit her at her home, you know, and have lunch and tea and stuff like that. So, I remember... She's missed. You guys don't understand.
Oh my gosh!
How much she's missed
on
our on our set.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the mom, man. Like she was the leader. Like when she was on the set, it's like, okay, hey, there's no messing around today because you know Susan's here. We got to get things going.
She'll be cracking the whip, huh?
What? Oh, Susan, yes, and everybody. I'm talking about from the crew to the cast to cameraman. Everybody knew. When that whip came out, okay, time to get in gear. She was like the mom that you never had that was on the set and just keeping everybody together. And she's missed to this day. I mean, it does feel weird. Honestly, it feels weird not seeing her every once in a blue moon, you know?
Right.
You can't never replace her. She never will be replaced.
Oh, no, absolutely
not. They try to
not.
Show her. As much as possible. When we shoot things, like, they'll show her face as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But my most fond memory, I remember when I first met Susan, I had a scene with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my first scenes when I first came on. And you guys know, I mean, Pam, Don, I wasn't used to the work ethic that daytime brought. It was so much work. Dialogue, and I had tons of it. Back in my heyday when I was working so much, it was so much dialogue that I was kind of, I wanted to do a good job, but I was nervous at the same time. And now here I am working with the matriarch, and if people teasing me, setting me up, hey, you better be ready. You better know all your stuff. You better know your work, Texas.
Oh, my God.
So they're putting this stuff in my head, right? I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm freaking out, and then I got this passage with Susan, and I'm sitting down with her, and we're on the set, and we're rehearsing it, and she looks at me in the middle of our rehearsal. She goes, so stop. I go, huh? She goes, you know what you're doing? I go,
oh, my God.
She says, are you sure? I said, uh-huh. She says, okay. Well, you better get it in gear. She says, because we're about to be on camera in a few minutes. So then I'm like, oh, my God. But then she comes back. She goes, honey, I'm just messing with you. She says, you take your time. If you have to do it line by line, we don't care. We're going to get it. They're here for you. You relax.
Oh, well.
I'm not going to bite you. It's going to be okay. Welcome to our show. You got the job. You're here now. So let's go. I'm like, got my palms from being sweaty, from the left one drying to the right one dripping. So now I'm trying to calm down a little bit. Everyone's laughing because they set me up to meet things in this way. So now I'm more calm, but I'm still at the same time. I know I got to do a good job, but I won't never forget that memory because she had me, woo, you talking about a heart going through your chest.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, my God, you were practically hyperventilating, I'm sure.
It's Susan Flannery. I mean, I didn't even know who she was until I got the job. And then everybody's like, oh, hey, Susan is like Susan Lucci, man. Like, she is the matriarch. Like, you got to get it together.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, God, here we go. It's like working with someone like, you know, like who's like what's her name? It's on the tip of my tongue. The actress I love that can play anything, the white older actress. What's her name?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
you know how many?
Give me her name. Please give me her name. No, she can play anything.
Are you talking about Crystal Chappell?
No. Help me.
No?
Not on our show. I mean, the movies. Like, she does movies and TV. Like, she's a legend. She's a star. I got to get this. I got to get it.
Well, name some stuff that she was in, Texas. Do you know?
Okay. Like, Confessions of a Shop. What's the shop?
Confessions of a Shopaholic?
Yeah. Now, who's that? Who's the older? Who is she?
I'm looking up on IMDb real quick to see who is in there.
Oh, please help me because it's on the tip of my tongue.
And I know it drives me crazy, too, when I can't remember something.
I see her face right now. I just can't make sure her name.
Wow. Okay. Well, those are young. So that was Joan Cusack?
No.
No?
As soon as you say her name, I know.
Okay. And she's been in both daytime and, like, film, too?
No.
Wendy Malick?
No. Just film and some TV. She's a film star. She's amazing.
No.
She's
well, would it be Meryl? Not Meryl Streep,
yes,
but
Meryl Streep.
Ooh,
yes.
Ding ding ding! I get the prize.
Meryl Streep.
You are the winner. Now, what does Dawn win?
Yes.
Look,
I was
either going to say Meryl Streep or Glenn Close, one of the two, because they've been
yes,
in everything.
Meryl Streep. So I was comparing, yeah, so my the whole thing of that, it was like working with a Meryl Streep in the soap world, where that's Wes Stephanie. That is Susan Flannery.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
If I didn't hear and they didn't hype me up, I would probably have been cool that day. But since they hyped it,
mm-hmm.
And made it seem like, oh, my goodness, this is like the Meryl Streep in the soap world. I got freaked out.
I could imagine that would have – that. I mean, when you think of Susan Flannery, I mean, to me, just to be on set with her – now, this is just my perception, but, you know, she has such a class about her, and she's a class act, and you see it come through, you know, in the character she played. I mean, and – it would be intimidating, I believe, to be brand new on the set and to have her, you know, even though she was, you know, funning around and stuff, but still, just to be in her presence would be complete awe because you know you're around a true soap legend, you know, and who has just, I mean, she's owned not only the role of Stephanie Forrester, but she has owned her place in, you know, in the soap world for so long, and I guess that's why it really had an impact on viewers and, you know, the cast and crew of Bold and Beautiful as well when she decided, you know, this is it. And, you know,
I'm going to tell you guys in the audience, I'm going to tell you guys something that you don't know, okay? And this is what talk radio is all about. The day that we filmed her last episode, when I tell you that everyone showed up for her farewell party and the thing that we put on the commercial on YouTube and things like that.
The video, yeah, I watched that. It made me cry.
Right, and she gave this beautiful speech at the end. But when I tell you that CBS in general, not just Bold and Beautiful, not just Young and the Restless, I'm talking about CBS. How many people showed up for this last hurrah, this last taping of Susan Flannery? And the speech that she gave, myself, I don't consider myself a crier. I get emotional at times, but to look around and see John McCook,
oh my God,
Taylor, Hunter
yeah.
Tyler,
yeah,
you know, to see, of course, Brooke, my auntie,
Catherine,
I go
Kelly
by parents, you know, Kelly, and Heather Tom, to see everyone, literally, while she's giving this speech, ladies, all you hear is this.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about not just from ladies, from men, from crew, from people in CBS. I automatically looked around. I said, what the heck is going on? Don't do this because now I am watering up. I'm like, stop.
This is
supposed to be a happy moment. Not sad. She didn't want anyone to cry. She said it. I don't want anyone to cry. This is a happy moment. I'm going on my terms. Hey, don't cry. But come on.
Yeah,
but you know, I think the reason why that was so powerful is because of who she was, number one. And number two, the storyline that they wrote for her, you know, as part of her leaving the show, that was so heartfelt. And because I don't think anyone alive has not had someone in their life that hasn't had, they haven't been touched by cancer in some way. So
right.
That was just a complete identifier storyline. And then for it to happen to Stephanie and the way they wrote it, you knew without a doubt there would not be another Stephanie. There would not be Stephanie coming back from the dead in 5 years kind of thing. I mean, this was final. And that's why, you know, it had such a huge impact. But to be a small blip on that set that day, I would have given anything just to be there,
right?
Just to see
me
that
too.
Unfold, you know.
But then
wow.
they would have found me hiding out watching this because I would have been like bawling with lots of noise. I mean, it took me almost a month to watch her passing in that last episode. I couldn't watch it. And that's something that I normally don't do. I normally just watch the episodes daily as they come by. But I knew it was coming and it was going to be so hard because I do love her so much as an actress.
Yeah, it was a good day. I mean, she definitely, to let everybody know, she stays in contact with all of us. And like I said, we know we're supposed to go and, you know, visit her at her lovely home and have lunch and just sit and chat and talk. But
mm-hmm.
It's nice to see someone go out on their terms. And you know, and from day one, I mean, wow, 26 years. It's a good thing.
Yeah, long time, and she's done
a
phenomenal
good run.
Job.
It was more than a good run. But I could honestly say, though, that her, you know, her presence is sorely missed because, you know, the show, I thought to myself so many times, especially with the current storyline between, you know, Hopley and Steffi, it's like, you know, if Stephanie were on this show right now,
yeah,
you just
yeah.
sit there and go, this is what Stephanie would be doing right now. She'd be getting a few people straight.
Right.
And oh, heaven forbid, this whole storyline, I must tell you, with Eric and Taylor, I am not digging that at all because I just got huge issues with that. It's like, oh my gosh, no way. So
yeah,
that's
a different interview.
I know, right?
Yeah, and you know, and then I think about Brooke right now. It's when in the 25 years that she's been on this show has she not had a man in her life? I mean, this is the first, you know. It's just unreal how they've written that right now because the focus has been kind of, you know, the whole triangle deal. But it's just interesting.
Yeah.
I was just telling Pam last night, I said, gosh, I think this is the first time in the history of the show Brooke has not had a man in her life, you know. And that's kind of weird, you know. So it's interesting how things have kind of moved forward since Stephanie, left the show. So, Susan Flannery.
Yeah, I mean, cause we got to do something. I mean, we just signed on for CBS, just signed us back for another 2 years. So, you know, we got some more Bold and Beautiful for 2013 and the 2014 season, which is good. So, you know, we're doing all right. We're still doing all right.
Well, I have a couple of fun questions for you that my other co-host, Sabina, came up with. So here we go.
Okay.
All right. What was your first car and what tales would it tell?
My first car?
Yes.
Ooh, my very first car. That was mine. It was a 1994 or 95 Chevy Cavalier. It was a stick shift and
it
was a two door. And
Not a lot of women in that car, was there?
it was real small. It was, you know, just for me and my boys back then. But no, it was a chill green, to be honest with you. I wanted to color it, but I didn't have no connections or any money to get it colored burnt orange. So I left it chill green.
Oh my gosh.
And the second part of your question was what?
What tales would it tell?
Ooh, tales. that was a bad car. That car got me into not trouble, but just it took me. It ventured out.
It was all the car's fault too.
Oh, it was all the car's fault. Car's fault. Yes, it ventured me out to a lot of places where I didn't find. I never thought myself would be, you know, from Dallas to
mm-hmm.
Austin to Houston to Irving to even to Baton Rouge. It took me everywhere, even to California. It took me to California.
Well, at least we know it was a good running car.
Oh, no, it lasted for a while. It lasted for a while, but they had to go bye-bye because then I fell in love with my next vehicle, which was a Ford Mustang Cobra convertible.
Oh,
that car.
Much better.
Yeah, much better. So, yeah.
Okay, the next question is, what's the oddest thing you've ever done for money?
The most honest thing?
No, oddest. Like strange.
Oh. You know what, I'm going to share something with you guys that I don't think many people know. And this
okay,
is going
this
to be
is
exclusive.
What we want.
This is exclusive. Okay, here we go. And I hope none of my mom, I don't think she's listening, but anyway. Okay, so I was approached by, I used to model back in the day in Dallas. I used to be with a guy named Sam Bowie with Bowie Model Management. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's recently, you know, passed, you know, about 4 years ago. But anyway, when I was modeling for him, I was approached by a lady. Her name was Tiffany. And Tiffany came to me and she asked me, she's like, so, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I'm in school and, you know, I part-time model. She's like, oh, really? She says, well, how would you like to, you know, to make some extra money on the side and on the weekends and at nights? I said, I don't know. And she asked me, did I know how to dance? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know how to dance, like, real good. You know, I get my groove on. Like, I swag. Like, I'm chill when I go places. Right? And she's like, well, you know, what I do is I'm Tiffany Pleasures, and what I do is she hosts
Tiffany Pleasures.
Events. Tiffany Pleasures. And she hosts these events where, you know, there are lingerie parties and cocktail parties and things like that. And
uh-huh.
She said, you know, I can put you in something nice to wear. You know, you take up your shirt and wear a bow tie, things like that. You can make like $150 for 2 hours. I said, ooh, that's not bad. I said, okay. So I got myself involved with this lovely lady, very nice lady. And I went to this event one night on a Friday. And it was what it was, beautiful women, you know, all types of women who were buying lingerie, and she was selling it, and all types of, you know, sexual toys and things like this that she
oh,
was,
my
you
Lord.
Know. And all I was doing was just selling cocktails, and, I made $150 just giving drinks. After that day, she gave me a call. She's like, Texas. She says, would you be interested in making $300 to $350 a night for 1 hour? I said, whoa. What is
oh,
this?
My God.
I said, well, at the party, there's a lot of women that were very interested and wanted to know would you be, you know, come to one of their parties and, you know, and dance and shake it a little bit. I said, shake what? She's like, you know, shake your booty a little bit. I said, huh? She's like, yeah. You strip? She's like, not really strip, but just shake a little bit. I said, I'm not a stripper. And she's like, well, no, just come on out and let's see how you do. I said, $350 cash? She's like, yes. Yeah. So my black ass, Texas battle, I went to this event, and it was like 40 women, and my assistant's probably laughing right now on the phone, but there was like 40 women at this house, beautiful house. I go there, I knock on the door, and they screaming and yelling, and I'm like, ooh, okay, wait a minute.
I kind of liked it a little bit because it got my heart thumping. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
So I go in, I go in the back where there's a back room where she's about to present certain things. There was another gentleman that was back there. Now, he was a professional stripper, and they called him Cool Beans. So what happened was she introduced me to him, and she gave me this whole, like, Texas get-up. She said, why don't you just go out there with him and watch what he do? I said, okay. But he wasn't – he was a great dancer, but I guess he wasn't as – you know, this is my prime, so I'm, like, very, you know, fit and lean and things like that. So I would go out, watch him do his thing. They'll go crazy. Then he'll come back, and then she'll go, Texas, you see what he did? So can you do that? I'm like, well, I can try. I can't do exactly what he just did, but I can try. I got me a cowboy hat on. I got me some of those cowboy slaps. She got me Texas style. She dimmed the lights for me. She said, introducing my new favorite dancer, Texas style. Y'all give him a good hand, and they start clapping, and they put the slow music on, some Jodeci, and the lights was dim. And I came out there, how come Pam and Don, how come I just snapped into a character? And I came out walking slowly, ladies screaming. I'm like, ooh, this feels good. And I just start, you know what, I blanked out because I don't even know what I did. Whatever I did, it was good enough to give me $350 from her, and an extra 125 tips. I almost made $500 an hour. Hello.
Oh, my God.
And Texas, now I'm saying to myself that all those women that were there watching you that night, they now see you all bold and beautiful, doing your thing.
Oh, man. You know, and I did it. I'm going to tell you, I did it for a good month. I did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday for a good month. And the only reason why I stopped, because I had a show at this, it was at a convention center, like a small convention center. And I got there, but one of the students that went to my school's auntie knew of me because I used to date her niece, saw me. And that's when it stopped. And then Tiffany put me on a flyer, and the flyer was getting around, and it started to create a kind of like a little
buzz.
Oh,
my gosh.
I didn't want that. So that's why it stopped. But, hey, I tell you, for that time, I was feeling good.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And making money.
And it's funny.
I made some money.
It was funny because I was going to ask you what's your hidden talent, but now we know.
Yeah, see, people don't know about that. Like, I could get funky if I really wanted to. I could get funky. If all else fails and I'm not in the industry no more, I guess I can always fall back on.
You're right.
Dancing.
You got
it. go back to your humble beginnings.
Man. But it was a crazy experience for me. I didn't know that I was going to like it like that, but I did. I don't know. It felt good, I guess.
Yeah. It was the attention and the money.
Hey,
I mean,
you asked a question. You wanted to know, so I gave you something.
Yeah. I'm very happy you did, because now I have these images in my head, you know. It's going to last with me quite some time.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone – see, this is back when – I'm glad these camera phones and, you know, the technology now, if it would have happened then, it would be all over YouTube.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
It
for
would
sure.
be, but thank goodness it's not.
I'm sure it would be the most viewed YouTube video, too.
It would go viral in no time, for sure.
Man, it was crazy. And I hope no one in Texas took a picture back in the day. Now they're going to post it up.
It'll be tweeted later tonight. They'll say,
yeah, I know, right?
And I'm like, where'd you get that from? Damn.
I don't know who that cat is. He
just looks like me, that's all.
Yeah, it just looks
right,
like me.
Right.
They say everybody's got a twin. That must be mine.
That's mine.
Well, the next question I have is, if there was a movie made of your life, and oh my gosh, now I know how good it would be, who would play you?
Who would play me? You know, I get this comparison, and, you know, me personally, I don't see it, because I'm who I am and this person who he is. But if someone had to play me who looks similar to me, it would be a friend of mine, Michael Ealy. He would be the guy that would, you know, play me about my life and how it is now. It would be him. And, you know, we're different. He's a little older than me, but we play different. You know, I play younger, he plays older. But people always say that, you know, we resemble each other, you know. I'm taller, he's shorter, but he has the green eyes, I don't, you know, things like that. So,
he's got
Michael
green eyes. I'm going to have to look this guy up.
Oh, I'm
you'll see.
Like,
if you look him up right now. If you look him up right now,
I could see that, Texas. I really could.
Yeah, you see it? It's like, and people say it all the time, like, Michael Ealy, you look just like Michael Ealy. And then, you know, he gets it every once in a while. Oh, you remind me of Texas Battle, you know, like, so it's kind of, I don't see it. I tell my assistant all the time, I don't see it, but people say they do. So it'll be him.
I'm definitely going to look that up after we're done with the show.
Right.
Among other things, right?
Right.
Right.
See if there's any pictures or footage out there of Texas doing his thing back in the day.
You know it. You know it.
Mm-hmm. We're just joking with you.
You go to Google Images, you can find just about anything.
Yeah,
that's
no,
true.
That's true. Of course, you know, if you put in Texas dancing, you're going to get for dancing in Texas. I mean, you're not going to get what we were looking for, but oh well, you know, keep trying.
Right.
Well, one last question from me before we take some calls. What was the last song you sang in the shower?
The last song I sang in the shower? The Django Walker. If I was one of my favorite artists is Django Walker, and it's the song, our Texas song. It's
start singing.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's called. I'm not really a singer, but at the same time, I can hold a tune. It's just a Texas Longhorn song. It's
it has to do with sports.
You hear it?
Texas Longhorn song. Is it like deep in the heart of Texas or something? I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's like only one team in the heart of Texas. You know, they play down in Austin Saturdays on the fall at Darrell K. Royal, 100,000 strong.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I don't know. You guys know. I die and bleed burnt orange, so it's all good.
Yeah, I know that very well.
Right.
And I have to
yeah.
always remember what that those letters mean, and I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah, Pam,
right
I'm
now.
Never, you're never going to be forgiven, Pam. Utah. What the hell?
Utah?
I ain't gonna forget it ever, Pam. Ever.
I know. Someday I'll walk up to you and I'll say it to you, and you'll know exactly who I am.
I will. I'm like, hey, girl. Utah.
Well, next. I think we should take some callers because some people have been holding a mighty long time. So,
okay.
First up is going to be David. Say hello.
Hey, Texas. How you doing, man?
David, what's up, man? Where you from?
I'm from New York State there, sir.
New York State. Well, what's going on, David? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to seeing more Marcus.
Well, David, you and me both. Let's hope it'll be coming shortly. Let's definitely hope that.
I got a couple questions for you there, man.
Sure.
First off, 5 years down the line, what would you like to see Marcus doing?
Running running the company, running Forrester Creations alongside his dad, Eric Forrester.
That's it. We'd all love to see that.
That would be cool. 5 years down the line. That'd be cool. Because it'd be the first time ever for something like that to happen. And I would love to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. That would be awesome. My next question for you. All right. Brad Bell gave you the opportunity to recast your character. Who would you put in as Marcus if you couldn't do it anymore?
Ooh. Who would I put in for me? The only thing that pops in my head right now is a good actor friend of mine. His name is Michael B. Jordan. And I say Michael B. Jordan because
I know who that is.
Right. And he's younger than me, but he comes from daytime. That's where he started.
Yeah.
But he definitely knows the chops. He knows how much work it takes to put in. But he would do a phenomenal job as well. He's branching off more now towards film and TV. But it would be Michael B. Jordan, no doubt.
Yeah, he played on All My Children.
Yes, he started
on All My
Children.
I'm very familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
I got to look him up. Okay, my next question is going to a little off. On remember Susan's farewell video?
Very well.
That you guys did. Who were those four dancers that dressed up to look like her?
Oh, you know what, David? I don't know. They were hired dancers from an agency. I really don't know. I can try to, and maybe tweet it, I can try to see what agency they were from or try to get a little bit more information for you about that. But we don't know. That was just somebody that they hired, and they actually practiced, and, you know, they did this little dance for Susan. So
they're phenomenal. I mean,
yeah, they're great. Yeah, I mean, it's L.A. I mean, I don't know how many dance agencies are out here, but if you want to definitely hire some dancers, you come to L.A. or New York and you book from, you know, a dance agency.
That sounds cool. Well, thank you, man,
for
taking all my questions. I appreciate it.
You got it, David. All right, New York, take it easy, man.
Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Okay, next up, I probably won't even say his name. I have a feeling you might know who this is. Caller, go ahead and speak.
Hey, Texas, how are you?
Yeah,
Anthony, how are you? Yeah. How's it going?
Anthony, you don't have to say your name, man. I know your voice.
What's going on? How's everything?
Anthony, how you doing, my friend? Anthony,
good.
A friend
I'm doing
of mine.
Great.
Anthony definitely, he knows my pain sometimes, too, on the show. Anthony knows sometimes what I'm going through, and we're both on the same page. What's going on, Anthony?
Not much. I did want to just call in and just say that, you know, the current storyline that, you know, is running right now that seems to have, you know, been wrapped up with Marcus and Daisy and Maya. And my question is, I actually have two questions. One is storyline related. They seem to be kind of veering toward a Maya and Rick Forrester relationship. Mm. And if that does continue, does Marcus fit in there, or is that going to be just a mainly Rick-Maya relationship and Daisy and Marcus are kind of not involved in it, you know, as far as,
well,
you know, what...
Yeah, that played out. I mean, you can tell from, you know, what's airing, and, you know, especially when you are a loyal fan of soap operas in general and B&B, there's no way that just it won't cross. I mean, I don't see how Marcus, Daisy, Rick, Maya, whatever, cross over being anything, because the last thing I had with Rick was obviously with Stephanie Forrester way back in the day. But there was a reason for that. You know, now that I'm married, I'm with Daisy, and I just don't see it happening. That probably will pan out right now. I mean, you have Rick and Maya. You know, Rick is still dealing with Caroline. So, I mean, you have that over there that's going back and forth. But as far as Maya and I mean, as far as Marcus and Daisy, no, I don't see it intertwining or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my second and last question is there anything from the set, either wardrobe-related or prop-related, that you always, you know, like to have, like, say, like in a collection of your own? And is there anything that you've taken from the set or anything that you would like to have taken from the set?
Well, I can tell you something that I would not like to keep and take from the set. is this dang wedding ring that's on my finger. Like, that's something that I don't want the dang wedding ring. But I'm trying to get divorced, Anthony.
Those shake things up for sure.
Right? Let's see. Have something that I would like from... you know what? And I really can't narrow anything down of what I would want to take or just to have from the set right now.
Do you know, like, for example, like this, when Susan Flannery left the show, is there anything, you know, that you know of that she might have taken since she was on the show for so long?
Oh, okay. Now, that, yes, okay. Like, for instance, she took, in our production office, you know, we have individual headshots, right, that are real mm-hmm. nice, and they're bolted on there on the board. I would love to take mine. She was able to, you know, get one and take hers and of all the cast members, which is, I think, phenomenal. So she can have and put in her, maybe her trophy room or whatever she has, you know, back at home. But yeah, she mm-hmm. has something like that. So I would want to do something like that as well. Remember all the cast members.
Yeah,
that would
awesome.
Be cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're real nice too. Like, they're like little squares and of our faces. That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you as always for taking my call and answering my questions. And I will talk to you on Twitter soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ant.
All right. Thanks, Texas.
Thanks, take Anthony.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I didn't get the names of the next couple callers, but I'm sorry.
Okay,
what were you going to say? Okay. All right. So it's area code 215. I have a feeling I know who this is.
215.
Am I on?
Michelle?
You are on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, hey, how's everyone doing?
It's Michelle.
What's up?
Nothing much. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And who am I speaking to?
Michelle from Philly.
Michelle from Philly. Where's my cheesesteak, girl?
It's coming.
Because I'm hungry. I heard you guys have the best cheesesteaks. And until I taste one, I'm not going to believe it. I got to taste it.
That is true. But if you come to Philly, you got to go to Jim's on South Street. They have the best cheesesteaks. Then you got to get a Philly pretzel.
Damn. I got to get a Philly pretzel and a Philly cheesesteak. Okay.
Then for dessert, you got to have crimpets, tasty cake crimpets.
What's that?
Those are like these little desserts that we only make them in Philly. They're called tasty cake crimpets.
Oh, so it's like Philly, it's Philly handmade only.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's cool. All right.
Like
so how you been, Michelle? What you got for me?
No, I just called them to say hi, to see how you were doing. Haven't heard from me in a while on Twitter.
I want a question. You got to throw me at least one question.
All right, well, I got one thing, but you're probably going to laugh. Can someone please do something with Maya's hair on B&B? I mean, it's like out. I mean, they could do something with it. Come on.
You know what? I got news for you. They will, and it's already been done. So you
have been done. Because if anyone who follows me on Twitter, that's all I complain about is like her hair.
See, so you're basically saying that you are tired of seeing Maya's hair like a mop, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that yes, poor girl. She didn't look too bad when she was singing that one day.
No, give her, she kind of looked good. But other days, I mean, come on.
Well, it's about, I don't know when it's coming, but it should be airing real soon where it's actually going to look pretty nice. And when it does, I want you to take a picture and you tweet me as well, because we have to tell the world this is how she really looks.
I will do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to apologize to you, Michelle. I've been very busy with, because it's the pilot season here for people that don't know in L.A., and, you know, new shows are trying to get made. And when that season happens, it's kind of, you know, most actors, we just go into this shell, to this lab, I like to call it, and we're just focused because we're reading scripts, we're preparing, we got to meet, you know, producers because we're trying to get that next big show. So I'm kind of low-key, like mid-January till the start of April. So I tweet every once in the blue moon, but I have taken a step back from all social media because I'm just more focused on that aspect first. But I'll be back.
Okay. Well, I hope so.
That's right.
We missed your presence on Twitter, that's for sure. I kept thinking, my God, I haven't seen a tweet from Texas in I don't know how long. So that explains it.
Yeah, I have to let everybody know it's just because of that reason. But
it's funny, you know, because like when I follow actors from Wine, R&B, and B and GH, and when like you don't see their tweets, you kind of like miss them, and you're like, they forgot about us, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel anyway.
I'm not gonna forget about you, Michelle. I can't, because you're gonna be talking about the mop on Maya's head.
That's right.
So, you know.
I thought I
know, Michelle.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
okay,
Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Michelle. Don't be surprised if you get a million tweets about that video, well, not the video, because there wasn't one that we know of, but about your dancing, so.
Man, I'm telling you, I wish I really, well, if we can go back in time, I would bring you two ladies with me, and you would be like, wow, like, crazy. Because I was doing the same thing. I didn't know what I was doing, but obviously I was doing something right.
Yeah, but you might have had a couple of stalkers then.
That's right.
You never know.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Last up, I'm not going to say who this person is either, because I have a feeling you might know her as well. Might have spoken like maybe once. So
okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Mr. Texas.
Okay, see, as soon as she started that, all
right,
no.
I know, right?
It's all right. It must be somebody who claimed to love Miami Heat and who's from the Florida area.
Exactly. Exactly. Where have you been?
You know, when
been?
She comes in with vengeance.
You're right.
Well, I'm here now. Clear your throat, girl. What's up?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how much I love you. I'm here with my husband because, you know, I just got married and whatnot. We're at Rooms to Go, and I get the tweet that you're going to be on the show, and I was like, oh, my God. So I'm sitting here in a couch in Rooms to Go calling you now.
Oh,
talk about dedication.
No, that's loyalty right there, Texas.
And my husband is looking at me like, and I'm telling him, and I said, oh, it's Texas, it's Texas. He rolls his eyes and walks away. He says, I know what time it is.
He's like, oh, whatever.
Exactly. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, did you get my congratulations tweet to you? Because I didn't.
Yes,
I didn't even know you were getting married. You know, we didn't know. Nobody knew.
Oh, wait a minute. Tracy told you several times that you blanked that out, sir.
Yes, thank you, Pam.
Well, that's good for you, though. How's everything? How is it? Is it different marriage, or is it the same?
No, it's actually a little bit different. It's better. We get along so much better now.
Ain't that something? That's good. Well, congratulations.
It is. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm doing good. You know, things are going well. You know, we're just trying to still, you know, hopefully get Marcus and, you know, Daisy. We got to get some drama here, you know.
That's what
something
I was just about
happen.
To say, because since, I mean, it came out that you didn't hit Anthony, and I know you didn't hit Anthony. I mean, everything just kind of fell out. You know, I didn't really appreciate that. I mean,
yeah,
but now that you've got
him.
Lawrence, now that you have Lawrence up on the show, I mean, when you two are on at the same time. Now, he was my boy from GL. I mean, from Guiding Light days, you got Maya up in there. She was Christina, and you have Remy and all them. I was just really, really, I said, oh, yeah, we need to get something going. But so I'm thinking that Carter might be kind of shady because he might be jealous that Marcus kind of went a little bit further than him. But I do know that he's a lawyer and whatnot. But, you know, Marcus is a part of the Forrester family now, so maybe he has a little bit of haterade. You know, he's sipping a little bit too much haterade, and maybe some drama might come out there.
There's a lot that we can do that, look, I just hope when they do it, Trace, that it really does go. Not 2 months, not 6 weeks. I want it to go. Like, let's
Oh, you mean
see.
You want them to stay away from Steffi, Hope, and Liam and actually give other people a chance to have a decent storyline? Yes,
that would be very nice. See, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't get involved.
Okay.
But
I know you can't say anything, but I'll say it because I'm kind of speaking up for the rest of the viewers here because I'm sick of watching this whole Bermuda Triangle forever and ever and ever, and I'm not getting to see my Texas. I'm not getting to see my Lawrence. I'm not getting to see all these other people. I'm just seeing the same three people who are beautiful people, by the way, but still, I'm getting kind of tired of it, and I would like to see something else. Just saying.
Yeah, I just hope that when something does happen and it starts, I just hope it goes for a while. And you're right, you guys all have great suggestions. There are a lot of things that can be done. Please, Trace, Pam, Don, all your listeners out there,
you have
to tweet this to Bold and Bold Insider as well. You got to express your thoughts. You really do.
I will. I have. They know.
Yeah, and you should read Tracy's blogs, too. Tracy has some awesome blogs. I mean,
I haven't been keeping
up with
them.
Like it is, she holds nothing back.
Yep. Thanks, Pam. But, Tex, good luck, because I'm sitting here up in the store, and I need to get back to see what we're actually purchasing. I'm talking to Texas. Texas Marcus.
Don't bother me. Talk to the hand. I'm talking to Texas. Okay.
I love that, Trace. I love it.
Dedication, boy, dedication. But good luck on the pilot, everything. And I really do hope that they give you something that you can really just sink your teeth into and just take off with it. Because I'm not really down with, like, this one-day, two-day thing, and then you're gone. Really doesn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Thank you, Tracy.
No problem. Bye, girls. I got to get going.
All right.
Bye, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy. Congratulations.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. That girl just amazes me. She cracks me up. She's the sweetest pie, and she's got to have one of the most wonderful husbands in the world to understand her dedication, love, and adoration for Texas.
I just love how she said it. He came over. He was like, "You ready?" She was like, "I'm talking to Texas." He rolled his eyes and like, "All
right,
whatever."
Yeah. Right.
Like, he knew he wasn't going to win that battle. He was like,
all right. Yeah, it was funny. It was like, you know, he was like, okay, I'm taking the back seat until she's off the phone.
Right.
You know, so that was great.
That's a good thing.
She calls from no matter where she is, except if she's at a basketball game. That's the only thing I noticed.
That's true. She do. She's loyal. Mm-hmm. Trace and Anthony, and, you know, these are loyal fans has been there since day one, and you know, they can talk about the show and they know the insight. You know, they know what's going on, so that's it's always good to hear from them.
Most definitely. I love talking to them too. So we're at the end of our hour. It just flew by as usual.
It's an hour already? It always flies by.
I know. It does, right?
I didn't even know it's been, I mean, I remember that last time when we first did something, Pam. It was like almost, what, 2 hours.
I know.
I didn't even know that. I'm like, what? It has been? But, you know, that's what happens when you're having fun and you're just talking away.
You lose track of time, big time.
But we should maybe do this like once a month.
It's fun.
That would be fun. But maybe... Well, I think we're going to be talking to you next week, I think.
Yes, we're going to be debuting on Dawn's show.
Right.
That is correct. Yes, my show is Behind the Mic Radio, and I want to personally thank you for being my first guest. My show debuts next Saturday at 5 p.m. So we could just call it Saturdays with Texas.
Right.
Well, we're going to say Saturday Behind the Mic with Texas and Dawn.
That's
there
right.
You go. That's right. And Pam will be on there with me. So, you know, she's,
she had to drag me on.
You know how that goes.
Twist my arm.
We're going to be on Texas. You couldn't believe the drama. My gosh.
Right.
Oh, no, it's going to be great. I'm going to have to, I wouldn't have anyone else on there with you to kick it off. So thank you so very much for helping bring that to fruition for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, girls. All right.
All right. You have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. I absolutely adore you and look forward to seeing more. And we're going to have to get on those tweets. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
And you keep retweeting them.
I will.
All right. Take care. God bless you. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you're going to get two times of Texas with Dawn's show next week.
I know, and I absolutely love him. I mean, he is just he is just such a wonderful human being, and he's so much fun, and I love his stories. And, oh, gosh, can you believe how it'll be a great show next week just because having him on and him talking about different things. And I'm glad you asked him those off-the-beaten-path questions, Pam.
No.
We got some really good answers tonight.
I know, right? I
yes,
just love, and thanks to Sabina for coming up with them because they work well with any guest. And it's always interesting to see or to hear what they come up with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so it'll be interesting. The same time next week, 5 p.m., the premiere of Behind the Mic Radio and Texas Battle will be on there with us. And so I'm excited. I mean, it has been the quickest hour of the whole week.
No.
I mean, really, it's just flown by. I can't believe it.
It's always like that with him. I'm telling you, I could talk to him for hours and I'm not sure how many listeners would hang on and listen for hours.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's quite a few.
He's got quite a fan base, and, and if they knew they could call, they probably wouldn't mind. So,
you know what? Michelle just said in the chat room, Texas needs to be in the sequel of Magic Mike. I vote yes.
Oh, that is awesome. Yes, we will be tweeting that to him.
And you know, and we all know now, that he has done things in the past that readies him to be in the sequel.
Exactly. And, you know, and I've heard so many mixed reviews on that movie, but no doubt if there's a sequel and they could cast him, I think it would be a hit, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Hands down. I mean, they may have needed him in the first one just to get the ratings a little bit better than what it was, but oh well. So we'll work on that. How about that?
That sounds good to me. We're just going to have to tweet mega time. So all you listeners out there, Texas Battle on Twitter is @Texas1 and Battle. And make sure you tweet over to B&B and let them know that we want more FaceTime, more storyline, more meet with Marcus on the screen. And
mm-hmm.
anything else, of course, that you want him in, like the sequel to Magic Mike.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Magic Texas. Here we come.
Uh-huh. More of the merrier. Hey, we don't have to have a sequel. Let's just write a new movie for him and let him star in it. And then we could just have him on our screen for 2 hours plus. You know,
that works for me.
So. It works too. So that, geez. Oh, well, what a great hour it's been, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to be back here again at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with Ryan Carnes. And some of you may remember him as Lucas, the young Lucas from General Hospital. He's also been in the movie Eating Out. He's a musician, an accomplished drummer, and so much to talk about. So I hope you join us back here again at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with Ryan Carnes. Dawn, you have anything to add?
Just that I'll be hanging out with you again tomorrow. So, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity. I look forward to it.
Oh, me too, me too. It's always fun. So everybody take care. Have a good night. Enjoy your Saturday. If you're going out drinking, please don't drive. Call somebody to help, you know, get you home. Or just crash out on that, what do you call it, bench on in the park.
Mm-hmm.
It's warm out.
That's right. Only if it's warm.
Have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night, everyone.
All of our listeners and callers as well.
Thanks for listening to tonight. Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at TakeTwoRadio.com and follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast, and you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.